are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I'm your host, Jake Mastriani, and you can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. Today, we'll be talking about the Thursday's game, another tough loss in this Philly series. We'll also be giving you our first farm report of the season with the minor league baseball season getting going, and we'll preview the next series, the upcoming weekend series against the Marlins. Before we do that, I'll remind you this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app and join me next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central to watch some of the Cardinals and Brewers game together. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So first of all, if you can't tell by my voice, I'm a little bit tired. I was getting ready to do the podcast with Vinny on Thursday night, and I had some high winds here in Alabama where I live and knocked a tree over on a power line, and so our power has been out and finally came back Friday morning. So going to try to get this podcast out myself. Unfortunately, not able to have Vinny on this one, so I apologize for that, but we'll have Vinny back next week to talk some Brewers baseball with all of you. I'm just quickly going to recap Thursday's game. Obviously, you know, not good news for the Brewers, getting swept in a four-game series by the Phillies, now on a five-game losing streak. Just really, really tough situation, unfortunate situation for the Brewers right now. You know, they've been able to sustain all the injuries so far and play well. And this series in particular is just frustrating because they were all close games, all games that they could have won and weren't able to pick up, you know, just one win on the road, a tough place in Philadelphia. But so it definitely hurt, so I'm not going to harp on it too much. But we talked about, you know, this being a great pitcher's duel. If you like good pitcher's duels, then it was definitely a game for you. Brandon Woodruff, you know, looked really good. He walked the first two batters of the game, but then was brilliant after that, retiring 19 of the next 20 batters that he faced. Each team only had one hit through six innings. Again, as Zach Wheeler, as you know by now, was just as dominant for the Phillies and even more so. In the seventh innings where Woodruff blinked a little bit, as the article on MLB.com said this morning, Alec Bohm got to him with a solo home run. Really good swing. You got to tip your cap. I mean, he took it to opposite field, right center field, home run. Really good swing by a good young player. That made it 1-0. And honestly, with the way Wheeler was pitching and the way this was going, you kind of felt like whoever scored that first run was going to win this game. And that ultimately ended up being the case. But the Brewers offense just couldn't get anything going in this one. They essentially went down in order in the first eight innings of this game. They did get a leadoff double from Billy McKinney in the third inning, but unfortunately Luke Maley lined into a double play. It was a soft liner to first base. It was a tough read for McKinney, who thought that ball was going to find some dirt before it got to Rhys Hoskins at first base. But Hoskins made a good play to run up and catch it just before it did hit the ground, so he got the easy double play as, again, McKinney took off on contact. You know, in a game like this, going against the pitcher in Wheeler, who you know is dominating, you can tell that he's on his game. I understand wanting to be aggressive there, but you gotta make sure you don't blow any opportunities that you get against a guy like that when he's pitching as well as he was on Thursday afternoon. But at the same time, I mean, you had the pitcher on deck and Woodruff. So, again, I can understand being a little aggressive there, but also probably would have, you know, would have rather him, obviously, in hindsight, freeze a little bit on that liner, even though it was a soft liner. I mean, it was only like 52 miles an hour exit velo. So, a soft liner, good play by Hoskins. But, you know, even if he just stays put and Woodruff strikes out the next at bat, you give Wong a chance to drive him in. So, I mean, obviously, looking back, Definitely wish you would have been a little bit more careful there and don't spoil that opportunity. Really the only opportunity they had until the ninth inning against Zach Wheeler in this game. But again, other than that, I mean, the Brewers offense was just going down 1-2-3 this entire game. But like normal in the series, as I just mentioned, the Brewers try to make some noise late. Down 2-0 in the ninth as the Phillies got a tack-on run in the eighth inning. They get singles from Lorenzo Cain and Avisel Garcia, who did not start this game, which we'll get into in a minute. But then Colton Wong comes up and Vogelbach comes up, and they both fly out to end the game, stranding those runners on base for the 2-0 loss. The finals for the starters in this game, Woodruff went 6 2/3 innings, gave up 2 hits, 2 walks, 1 run, had 11 strikeouts, so obviously he was really good. But Zach Wheeler, complete game, 3 hits, shutout, no walks, 8 strikeouts. He was just absolutely dominant. I mean, this was everything we thought this game would be. You got a day game, a travel day, you got shadows to deal with, you got the high sun. I mean, this was set up to be a low-scoring pitcher's duel, and that's exactly what it was. Unfortunately, it was Woodruff who blinked first, giving up that solo home run. And again, that was pretty much all that was going to be needed in this one with the way that these pitchers were pitching. So again, a four-game series loss to the Phillies definitely stings, definitely hurts now that they lost 5 in a row. And the Cardinals keep winning. So it's really, really tough stretch of things here for the Brewers. Obviously, their worst stretch of the season. Next, I'll get some of my bigger takeaways from this game. Before we do that, let me tell you about betonline.ag. They are the fastest and easiest way to get in on the sports action. And even though the NFL season might be over, you got the NBA, NHL, and now Major League Baseball seasons all in full swing at the same time. So a lot of opportunities there to get in on the action. But betonline.ag does more than sports. They also cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to betonline.ag on your phone or internet browser today and sign up to receive your 50% welcome bonus. That's 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So just a couple of takeaways for me in this one. That I wanted to get into. The lineup for the Brewers is becoming a problem, and that's, you know, not really going out on a limb saying that, but they're not scoring runs in bunches. They're not getting that big hit, taking advantage of those opportunities like we've talked about. But you look at the lineup today, and you got Daniel Vogelbach hitting second, you got Tyrone Taylor hitting third, and Travis Shaw hitting fourth. Now, nothing against any of those guys. I love all of them. But to have them hitting 2, 3, and 4 in your lineup, that's just not going to get it done. And like I talked about earlier, the Brewers have gotten some players to step up to fill in with all these injuries to give them some big moments. You know, Billy McKinney has had his moments here and there. So they've gotten some production out of players they needed to step up with all the injuries, but that's not sustainable. I mean, these aren't the players that you're hoping is going to carry this offense. Yes, you're gonna need them to have big moments every now and then, but to run them out there every day and hoping that they're going to continue to deliver that's not sustainable over an entire season. And that's essentially what we're hoping right now. We're hoping that these backup players and Tyrone Taylor and the Billy McKinneys of the world and Luke Maley, you're hoping that they're going to step up and give you starter production. And that's unfair to them. And it's just not something that is a recipe for success. And I understand Council can't do anything about it. I mean, you got the injuries to Omar Narvaez, to Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain continues to be injured and not playing a lot. So, I mean, there's nothing he can really do about it. It's just plain and simple a fact that this offense isn't good enough to score a lot of runs right now the way that it's constructed. And again, I love Vogelbach. I love Travis Shaw. They're two of my favorite, at bats. When they get up there, they're going to give you good at bats, but they need to be hitting fourth and fifth in this lineup, not second and fourth. They don't need to be in the top of it. So again, it's where the Brewers are at. I mean, they can't do anything about it. They got to get healthy. They got to get Yelich healthy at the top of the lineup. They have to get Kane healthy where he can be playing just about every day at the top of the lineup. And, once you have that, I've been saying this since the preseason. If you have a top three of Wong, Kane, and Yelich with Avisail Garcia behind them, and then you got the Travis Shaws, then you got the Avisail Garcias, Luis Urias, and hopefully get Narvaez back, then I do like this offense, but it has to be healthy to work. I think we're seeing now where the depth is becoming an issue for this team. Again, they've stepped up early and been able to help sustain some of these injuries, but you can't rely on that to happen every game running these guys out there. And I don't necessarily understand the decision to sit Kane and Avisail Garcia in this game. I understand Wheeler's a tough righty, but Avi's been your best hitter lately. Kane, he's started one game in this series. So, I mean, is he not healthy? Is he not healthy enough to where he can play every day? I don't understand the decision to sit those two guys in a game. And I get it's a long season. It's not a must-win game or anything. But certainly, you want to go out there and give it your best shot to not get swept in this four-game series. And you leave out two of your best hitters. And oh, by the way, they pinch hit late in this game and they both get hit. So I don't understand that decision from Council. That's a little frustrating to me to not have two of your best hitters in here in a game that, you really want to try and win, to not have those two guys in there. And I get it, he's playing matchups, but forget the matchups. These are two of your best hitters in Kane and Avisail Garcia, and you don't have them in the lineup when you're trying to not get swept in a four-game series. So that one's a head-scratcher to me. I don't understand not having those two guys in there. And again, you pinch hit for him late against Wheeler, the guy you were trying to avoid with them, and they both get hit. So that one's a bit frustrating to me. I don't understand that one at all, not having them in there. The only thing I can think with Kane is maybe he's not healthy and he didn't want to play him, in a day game after he did play in the game before coming in late. Maybe there's something to that there, and they're just being cautious with him. Avisail Garcia, we talked about on the last podcast, been one of their best hitters over the last couple of weeks. I really don't understand not having him in there. So just a very questionable lineup decision for Curry Council, for me anyways. But definitely didn't work out there. I don't know what else to say about that. It didn't make any sense to me. But I'm not a major league manager. I'm not going to try to be one. Council's obviously a lot smarter than me, but I thought that was a bad decision. And also, me, managing from my couch here, it's a 1-0 game. You have a fresh bullpen, and you bring in Angel Perdomo to relieve Woodruff in this one. And he gives up a run, makes it a 2-0 game, and what already kind of felt like an insurmountable 1-0 game certainly felt even more so, giving up that run, making it 2-0. 1-0, maybe you get a bloop and a hit or a walk and a double, and you tie this thing up. But once Perdomo gave up that second run, I mean, by all accounts, the game was put on ice at that point. So I don't necessarily understand that. Again, it's a long season. I get Council maybe not unloading everything, just trying to win one game, but at some point you got to try and stop the bleeding here. I mean, the team's now on a 5-game losing streak. I just didn't feel like Council did everything he could managerially in this game to try and win. And that's a bit frustrating from a fan's perspective when you're on a losing streak. You really want to get this win and not get swept in a 4-gamer. And I don't feel like the manager did everything in his power to try and win this game. So, hopefully now the bullpen is even more rested and ready for this Marlins series, and Kane's more rested, and Avi got, his rest or whatever, and they'll be ready for this Marlins series, and maybe they'll sweep them. But just a frustrating series all around in Philadelphia. So, forgive me if I'm coming off a little harsh today, but yeah, that's just, those were four really tough losses to take. So obviously going to have some disappointments and some questionable decisions to talk about. But next we'll get into hopefully some more exciting stuff, doing our first farm report of the year, and then we'll preview that Marlins series that I mentioned. Before we do that, I'll remind you this show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your regular chocolate chip, fudge, or cookies and cream, which are still some of my favorites. They have a bunch of different flavors from almond toffee to mint, and obviously the peanut butter fudge, the dark chocolate raspberry, and a lot of coconut flavors that are very popular. A lot of cool flavors that you don't normally get in protein bars, something that's going to give you a unique taste and taste good as well. Something that I love is that they're not hard as a rock like a lot of other protein bars that you get. Has a very soft, chewy middle that's easy to get down. They only have about 5 net carbs, so they're good for you as well. You can take them, you know, for a workout, as a meal replacement, or just a snack. You can eat them anytime. They're packed with protein, not a lot of carbs, like I said, and they taste amazing. Can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com today and try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Go to BuiltBar.com today and use our promo code LOCKEDON15. So I'm going to do our first farm report of the year. Obviously, not a lot of data to go off of with the minor league opening day happening on Tuesday and a lot of rainouts. I think at least two of the teams had a postponement this week. So really only two or three games to talk about so far. But I want to start doing a farm report probably every Friday, just giving you some updates from the minor leagues. Derek Fisher off to a nice start for the AAA team there. In Nashville, he's 2-for-5 with a home run. I honestly was not aware that the Brewers were able to keep Derek Fisher. That's definitely a huge plus there. I really liked Derek Fisher in spring training. I thought he was going to get the bench job over McKinney, but after Fisher got injured and McKinney really started to swing the bat well at the end of spring training, he certainly earned that spot and has done well for the Brewers at times this year too. But Fisher's also just some nice depth there if he needs to come up. So glad to see him still hanging around and doing and off to a good start in the minor leagues. And then Josh Lindblom, also for Nashville, pitched 2 scoreless innings this week as he tries to work his way back into form. So that was good to see. And then Biloxi had a crazy inning on Thursday against my hometown Birmingham Barons. In the 6th inning, they scored 12 runs on 13 walks, a one-hit batter, and there was only one hit in the inning. Truly just amazing. I don't know that I've ever seen an inning like that. I don't know if that's exciting or completely boring to watch 13 walks. I personally wouldn't want to see that, but certainly one of the more wild innings I've ever heard of. So good for Biloxi getting that done. Catcher Peyton Henry down there has 4 hits and hurt his first 8 at bat, so off to a good start there. And then the Timber Rattlers in Wisconsin, where most people are probably are tuned in, where Garrett Mitchell is. He had 3 hits in his first 5 at-bats. However, he was pulled from Wednesday's game, and he didn't play in Thursday's game. So hopefully everything is okay with him. Obviously, if we get an update on that, I'll let you know on the podcast on Monday. But hopefully everything is okay there. And then Victor Castaneda has had maybe the best pitching performance so far in the minor leagues for the Brewers. He went 5 innings, allowing just 1 run on 1 hit and 1 walk with 8 strikeouts for the Rattlers. Certainly, you know, obviously starting pitchers aren't going deep into games to start the minor league season, so you probably won't see a ton of notable pitching performances to start, but certainly a good one there for Castaneda. And then Michael Bello and Gabe Holt each have 5 hits already for the Carolina Mudcats. And Bello has 6 RBIs while Holt has 3 walks. So those two getting the job done in Carolina. And then TJ Shook for the Mudcats struck out 9 batters over 5 innings. So another good pitching performance there. But that's your farm report for this week. Again, I'll likely do that at least once a week, most likely on Fridays going forward, just hitting some of the highlights from the week at the minor league level. Lastly, want to just quickly preview the upcoming series with the Marlins. Again, this Marlins team is tough. We've already seen it. Now we're going to face them in Miami, and you're going to get Trevor Rogers on Friday. Rogers has been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball to start the year. We've already seen him once and seen what he can do. Meanwhile, the Brewers are pretty much going with a bullpen game. Suter's going to be starting it as an opener, and then we'll see where things go from there. So going to be a tough one on Friday. And then right now, the scheduled starters for Saturday are Adrian Houser and to be determined for Miami. So we'll see how that one shakes out. And then on Sunday, you got Eric Lauer versus Sandy Alcantara. So just to be completely honest with you, I don't like the Brewers' chances in this one. Maybe that means they win, because it seems like the series I think they're going to do the worst in, they do the best in. But just on paper, looking at the pitching matchups, the way the offense is going, the Marlins have a really great pitching staff. I mean, Alcantara's ERA is 2.95, Rogers' ERA is 1.91. So you know those two starters are likely going to pitch really well against this offense, especially, again, with the way they're going right now. And the Brewers don't have any of their top three starters going in this series. So I would be surprised if the Brewers win this series, to be honest. And I hate to say that, coming off getting swept in Philadelphia, which is why I really wish Council would have tried harder for that win on Thursday. But it's going to be a tough series down in Miami, going against a team that pitches really well, a team that plays fundamentally sound baseball. You know, I talk about in this series, and you had it happen again on Thursday, you get the leadoff double, which I get you were at the bottom of the lineup. So, you know, really not a shot there to kind of manufacture things, but with the pitcher coming up. But this is a Miami team that they're going to play fundamental baseball. They're going to move that runner over. They're going to steal a bag. We've seen it from them already. They're a scrappy team. They're going to put the ball in play. They're going to get some bloop hits. So, honestly, they do everything that I wish this Brewers team would do offensively, in manufacturing runs and put it, stringing hits together and base runners together. So it's going to be a tough series for Milwaukee, but hopefully they'll prove me wrong. Hopefully they'll bounce back from this tough stretch and they can win the series down in Miami. But I'm certainly not expecting it, but hoping for the best as they go to face the Marlins again. That will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. And you can follow me at Shortstop Ball. And make sure you give Vinny a follow too at Vinny Rotino, as he will be back with us next week. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.